here's how this all works. When you looked at electrons as they went through an experiment, they would mark a piece of film. They would leave a mark. And you would look at the marks. And the marks would fill in a pattern. And the pattern would tell you something. It would tell you whether or not what was going through the experiment was wavy or was making little lumps. Now, if it was just lumpy, 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 then the pattern would look a certain way. If there was a waviness to it, then the pattern would look very different. One was called a wave interference pattern, and the other was called a simple Gaussian pattern. By Gaussian, I mean a hill pattern. So I'll use the language hill versus interference pattern. By interference, here's what it looks like. It looks like, have you ever taken a comb and taken that comb and held it up to a light and watched the light shine through the comb, leaving a shadow of the comb on a wall? You can see teeth. You see blank spaces and dark spaces. That's a wave interference pattern. That's what a wave interference pattern looks like. Or a hill pattern is when you take an egg and you throw it against the wall and it goes splat and you get a molt of the egg in the central part and then it kind of gets weak as you go out to the edges. That would be a particle pattern, the egg being the particle and the comb being the wavy stuff. Well, when you look at the two and you look at them by looking at many, 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 many electrons, you get these kind of two patterns showing up. In order to find out what's going on, however, you've got to really look at one at a time. And this is when things get a little strange. When you start looking one electron at a time, the two patterns don't look very different. In fact, they just see it one spot, one spot, one spot, one spot. You see spots appearing. But when the waviness begins to show up, it shows up, when the experiment's done in a wavy way, by showing that the spots start to appear on the wall, not filling in a hill pattern, but filling in a comb pattern. And when you do the experiment in the other way, where you don't look for the wavy stuff, it starts filling in, and it fills in a hill pattern. So depending on what you set up, you get a hill pattern or a comb pattern, and you, in the setup, are making that happen. If you look at whatever you've decided to make it happen, if you just look at one spot at a time, you won't know what you set up to make it happen because one spot won't tell you anything. It's only after many, 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 many spots come through that you know what you've set up. Actually, you know what you've set up because you did it anyway, but you will see the results of your setup. So this is what we do in physics. We really have to build a picture based upon what we set up and what we observe. And in order to make sense of the picture, we have to talk about what happens to individual things. What happens to the individual electrons? Are they waving through space? Well, yes, they are, in order to make the comb pattern. Or are they traveling through space as particles? Well, yes, they are, if they make the hill pattern. So we have to decide whether the electron is one place at one time, traveling through space, or is somehow waving its way through space. What that means is being in several places at the same time as it moved through space. We don't actually see that. We have to think it. Now, there is a deep clue to reality. We create a picture of reality based upon what we believe to be reality, and that reality then corresponds to our picture of reality and becomes the reality that we perceive. In other words, we perceive what we believe we perceive, or what we think we perceive, or what we feel or intuit or sense what we perceive. But actually, none of those things are truly the absolute perception or the absolute reality, because our perception is always involved in it. And what gets involved is our history of our thinking and our conceptualization of what's going on. And our mind is entering into it, and we are influencing it all of the time. We are influencing it by our remembrance of what it had to have been and what it had to have been in the past, and therefore what it needs to be in the future. And that is our way of constructing what we call the reality of the situation. So we create a waviness or a particleness to the reality that we perceive in these atomic physics experiments by the way we set them up, see the results, and then interpret the results as being, ah, it was waving, ah, it was particling, ah, it was doing this or that. And that's the way we do it. That's how we conceive of reality. Now, the important thing here is not so much whether it was wave or particle. Oh, that's certainly important when you're studying the quantum physics. The important thing here is the conceptualization that goes on, the sense-making that we make of reality, the way we try to understand it, the way we see it in terms of law-like behavior, the way we put together a picture of what happens. In doing so, in making it that way, we tend to diminish the elephant that's in the process of the creation of these pictures and emphasize the act which is the final result of these pictures. So we tend to divorce one from the other. And that's where we get into trouble. That's where we begin to believe that we're one thing rather than another thing. And that's how it is that it will help us if we can reconnect with our elephant.